Hello and welcome to the Red Men Roundup. I'm Reece Gavin and I'm joined by a good friend of mine, Georgia. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you, Reece. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. Would you like to get started then?
Yeah, absolutely. So today we're going to be doing a roundup, as you will, of the Liverpool women's current month and how they've been doing fixture-wise and talking about the rotation in kind of all areas of the team. So do you think we should start with maybe the choice of forwards that's been getting tampered with a little bit?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so as we all know, Jess Clark, who plays on the wing, number 7, she's only been with the team since 2017, but she is viewed as a very senior player, despite only being with us for a year. She made her 100th Women's Super League appearance yesterday against West Ham, so that was a big game for her, and I definitely think she delivered.
Yeah, I think she's obviously only been with us for a year, but I think it's to have 100 games at Women's Super League. I'm not too sure, but I think it's pretty rare for that to happen. I think they play less game time to the men as well, obviously. So I think it's a great achievement, and I think her experience, she should be viewed as an important player, which she is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as far as starting 11s go, Jess Clark's pretty untouchable. Like, she's always in the lineup. You know, there was an exodus over the summer where we lost a lot of players and we signed 12 new ones with Neil Redfern. 4 of those were new forwards, but Jess Clark's never been rotated. She's always been there. So I think that speaks volumes about how important she is to the team.
Yeah, I think it must show a lot about her on and off the pitch. I think on the pitch she's absolutely brilliant, but off the pitch I've heard a lot of things that she's just as good.
Yeah, definitely. She used to play for Arsenal as well, and you know, we all know how well they're doing. You know, they're absolutely unplayable at the moment.
Yeah, the Arsenal look like, I think it's between them and City to run away with the league really this season.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. During the summer, we lost some really key players. So we had Caroline Weir, who's gone to City. Sophie Ingle, Bethany England. Bethany England was on loan from Chelsea and she was actually our top scorer last season. So even though we weren't in any way tied to her, it's still been a massive loss for her to return to her home club. So it's been hard to adjust without all these clinical goal scorers.
Yeah, I think losing a striker of their calibre, I think whether she was on loan or not, she's always going to be a big miss.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got Christy Murray, Yana Daniels, the Belgian international, Courtney Sweetman-Kirk, who funnily enough came from Everton, and Kirsty Lynette, who scored her debut Liverpool goal the other day against Yeovil. I think all 4 are showing real promise, but it's still early days as to which one's going to be the first choice, like target woman, if you will.
Yeah, I think it's good to have so much option to rotate at any level of football. I think the striker spot is one of the spots in the squad that's definitely still up for grabs. So hopefully we can see that being the best out of all of them.
Definitely. And to be honest, I can't even say which I prefer up front, because I mean, you know, Kirsty Lynette started against Yeovil, and then against West Ham, Kirtland switched it about and started Sweetman-Kirk, which I wouldn't have thought to do until Sweetman-Kirk, you know, scored within the 8th minute. So it just goes to show he really does know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I think with us only playing one game a week at the moment as well, other than the odd cup game, I think it's difficult as well, and it's going to take a lot of time for us to find out who our best striker is. But over the time of the season, I think one of them, or maybe a couple of them, will definitely pop up and be starters for next season or the second half of this season.
Definitely. I think there will be kind of like how Klopp plays the men's team. So there'll be like a target player up front with 2 on the wing, like pacey wingers. And obviously Jess Clark is a pacey winger. And Neve Charles, who's only 19, like she's been up and coming. And her performance against West Ham, I think I was really, really impressed with it. You know, she was dropping into midfield deep to nicked the ball off the toes of the West Ham defence, and then she was driving the attack forward on her own. So I think with Charles and Clark on the wings, it's just testing to see who fits them best right at the top.
Yeah, I think we're lucky we've got two top, well, we've got more than two top wingers as well at the club. I think it's all about seeing who works best with them. It could be something that takes time, or as I say, it could be something in the next game or two. You could see a starter that's nailed their spot down already.
Yeah, absolutely. And talking about Kirkland and, you know, the rotational choices he's been making, it's actually quite a funny situation because obviously he's taken over in the absence of Neil Redfern, which we're still unsure about what really happened there. So what are your views on it being Chris to take over as opposed to Vicky Jepson, who is in fact a first team coach herself?
Well, I think first of all, the Neil Redfern situation is something that a lot of people, definitely in the women's game, that a lot of people want to know about. I don't think we will find out about it anytime soon. There was a few rumours about him not being impressed with the financial backing, but I can't really comment on the situation. I mean, he left the club after one game. It's a weird situation, but I think the girls have done well to move on so quick. And then with Chris Kirkland, we've been talking a lot, obviously, off the podcast, and we're not too sure about him. We're not sure whether he's got coaching qualifications. He's got experience in the game, but as a manager, a lot of inexperience. I do think Vicky Jepson would have been the better option for manager, but I think her as the assistant Kirkland is, it's definitely working at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think at first, I didn't really think it made sense, but then I feel like they're kind of working together. Like, even though it's Kirkland's name on the team sheet every week, I think Jepson's got a lot of say in what happens. And obviously, being a woman herself, like, it does help because, I mean, it's just black and white. Like, a man's not going to know exactly how women are going to play. So it helps that there is a man and a woman both kind of leading the way kind of thing.
Yeah, I think I was just about to make that point myself. I think it doesn't seem like we have a manager and assistant, if you get me. If you look at the sideline, they're both always up to both ways. It's almost like having two managers.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't think they view each other as an assistant or the manager. I think they both see themselves as managers.
Yeah, and I think that could actually be a really healthy asset to the team because, you know, with them both kind of, they're not overpowering each other. No one's kind of left in the shadows. Like, both of them seem to have a lot of grip on the team, and the girls are obviously getting on really well. So I think this could potentially be the way forward. I can't really see the women desperately looking for a Neil Redfern replacement because I think so far, how this is working, it's kind of got the women out of a rut because, let's face it, they didn't start the season off very well at all.
Yeah. I think if Chris and Vicky both go the way that they are going with such an impressive takeover so far, I think it's only a matter of time before they get offered the job on a permanent basis, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you there because, I mean, so Redfern left the club after that, you know, really bitter, let's face it, was bitter loss against United because, you know, a lot of our players, I think it was four of them, have gone to United. You know, our keeper, Siobhan Chamberlain, who's arguably one of the best in England, you know, Alex Greenwood, one of the strongest English defenders, you know, they've gone to the new United side, and to face them in a derby and lose, it was devastating for fans and players. And then to top it all off, you know, Neil leaves after that, it's just a big blow, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I think, although it was a very bitter start to the season, as you've said, I think it's something we'll talk about a bit later, I think, but the squad spirit seems really high under Vicky and Chris, and I think that's shown since Neil Redfern left. I mean, a lot of groups or teams we could have been in big trouble after losing in one game into the season.
Definitely.
But I think it shows how tight the girls are together and how well they get on by them obviously coming through it and showing a decent bit of form over the last few games.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that spirit is coming from, it obviously comes from the captain, because our captain, ex-captain, should I say, Gemma Bonner, she left in the summer because, you know, Manchester City were desperate for her. You know, she's a very proven defender. She's a very proven leader. And, you know, she racked up over 100 appearances in a red shirt, and we did sorely miss her at first. You know, no one thought anyone was going to fill her shoes. And, you know, with Neil Redfern, he brought Leandra Little from Doncaster Bells. I read a lot of good things about her because, you know, with her age comes experience. So I thought, oh, well, that's good. You know, she's going to be able to lead the pack. But I think since Redfern's gone, she's just been dropped indefinitely. And now Sophie Bradley-Auckland wears the armband. Like, do you think that's a temporary choice, or do you think Little will gradually come back into the squad?
Well, I think that's one of the difficult situations that can't really be solved in Redfern leaving. Redfern signed, I think it was his choice anyway. I'm not too sure what the background's like, but I think it was his choice to sign. It was mostly his players who he was signing, who he wanted.
Yeah.
So I think Chris Kirkland and Jepson may not prefer her over Auckland, but I think while Kirkland and Jepson are in charge, I think the captaincy will probably stay the same.
I agree that that should probably be the right decision, because so far, you know, she's been... Because I always like a defender to wear the armband because, you know, they're involved in the action and they're kind of at the heart of the spine of the starting 11. So, you know, she's there to rally her players. You know, she's there to like lead the line, if you will. And I think the only other person I could think of for potential captaincy would be Satara Murray. Again, you know, a defender. And I think she's one of our most senior players. You know, she's been with us since 2015. But as far as Bradley-Auckland's been doing, I think she's doing a top job, and I wouldn't like to see anything else change captaincy-wise.
Yeah, I think she's done a terrific job. She's shown that she can be a leader on and off the pitch. So I think she hasn't done much wrong right now. I think it'd be pretty harsh to take it off her. But the only way I can see that being taken off her is by, obviously, Chris Kirkland not becoming the first team manager on a permanent basis.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if they were actively looking for a new manager, that kind of would, I don't know, put a few flies in the ointment, I think, because, you know, like we've just said, they are doing well with the management, how it's going so far. So I think if there was a new manager to come in, he or she might have completely different views and be like, right, I don't want to start you, I'd rather start you. I think we need this kind of a leader rather than you. And it could really upset the team's current momentum, because they've gone from looking like complete strangers, which essentially they were, you know, it was 12 new players with maybe two senior players, and now they look like a real unified squad, like they're working together, that the way they play so fluidly and the communication is really building, like they are gradually becoming a unit together.
Yeah, I think, as I said, with Sophie Bradley-Auckland as being the captain, with Chris Kirkland and Victoria Jepson, there's no point in changing that, something that's working, especially such a big role like a manager, especially if they're going to be a manager like, obviously this is just a men's example, but your Sarri or your Emery. Every manager has their own style. Yeah, and if it's a complex style like that, it's going to take he or she a while to get that on the team. So I think if they're going to bring in a replacement for Neil Redfern, and it isn't going to be Kirkland or Jepson, I think it's best that they do it at the end of the season, in my opinion.
Definitely, because there's so much new blood like pulsing through this team that they need time to settle, and already the Redfern's departure has thrown a massive spanner into the works. Like, you know, I've seen the girls on social media, like they seem just as confused as the fans are. So you do have to kind of feel for them, because, you know, they've all started in this new team, they're trying to gel. And then suddenly this manager who they've been saying is a great manager just suddenly isn't there anymore. And it's like, well, what's the team going to do going forward?
Yeah, I think it'd be unfair on the girls, as well as you're saying, to bring in another manager. I think they've been messed around enough this season. Maybe it was in the club's hands, maybe it wasn't. But I think they definitely deserve to be to have Vicky and Chris as the manager until the end of the season, and I haven't saw any signs that they're not enjoying it. I mean, over social media, Vicky and Chris are quite active, and I think the girls are, and I think they all look like a tight-knitted group, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see relationships really forming. I mean, against West Ham, in the final stoppage minutes, Kirsty Lynette got brought down. I'm still not entirely sure what happened, but she ended up having stitches in her head, and it was...
Not the most professional stitches, maybe.
Oh, absolutely not. But although it was awful to see her go down like that, I mean, there was Fran Kitchen, she came off her line, and Leanne Robe, they were, like, going up to her. They were, you know, making sure she was okay. I mean, obviously that's expected, but it's still good to see that they've got this care for each other.
Yeah, I think they're already showing a bond that a lot of teams in this amount of time with so many new players wouldn't get. But I think we're lucky with the girls we've got. They all get on well. They all seem like great girls. I haven't saw anyone with an attitude of they're the best. I think everyone treats each other as equal, and I think that's important to make a successful team.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think, without any disrespect to men's football, but I think it's a less egotistical sport, the women's, because they have such a massive point to prove, because it's not a very well-followed sport.
Yeah.
And they're trying to gain more audience, so they haven't really got time to be egotistical. Like, all they can be is humble. And I think I would struggle to list some female players who have got an attitude and are for themselves.
As you were saying, I totally understand your last point. I think it is true, to be fair. I think women's football isn't as followed as men's football. And I think if they want to get as noticed as men's football, they've got to stay together as one, really.
Yeah, definitely. Also, you know, there's been a lot of backlash, like, not from people who aren't fans, but from people who actually are fans. Like, they've really gone to town on the Reds on social media because of their poor start to the season, you know, saying, oh, like, kind of comparing us to last season or the season before, you know, judging the players for all leaving. And, you know, obviously there was the first game, which was against United, and then we lost 5-0 to Arsenal, which was an absolute field day for them. I mean, there was nothing we could do about it. You know, Vivian Miedema had an absolute stormer against us, and that's just how Arsenal are. I just don't think we could have done anything. But I feel the real turning point in the season was the Continental Cup game against Durham. You know, it was like a gritty game where we came back from being down and ended up winning on penalties. And that was just such a euphoric win. And I think from there, that's kind of where our season's turned itself around, and morale has boosted, because since then, we've only lost one game, and that was 1-0 against Reading, which was quite an unlucky game, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that I had. We're not the only team that's been absolutely turned over by Arsenal this season.
Absolutely not.
I think they've had an unbelievable start to the season, as City have, and I think I said it earlier, they really are going to be untouchable this season.
Definitely. So, you know, you can't really complain about results like that. But since the Durham game, you know, we beat Brighton. Okay, we lost 1-0 to Reading, and because it was at home, it was a bit more painful. But then we came back and we won against Yeovil. We won against West Ham. And, you know, the men won against Huddersfield as well in you know, the term everyone's calling winning ugly.
Yeah.
So the girls have gone on to do exactly the same and win ugly against West Ham. And those are the results that you really need to just capitalize on, because those are the results that are going to get you far. And as a result of it, we have leapfrogged Chelsea in the table. And, you know, Chelsea's got absolute superstars like Frank Kirby. You know, on paper, you would never think we'd be in front of Chelsea this early on into such a new era. But, you know, there we are. You know, we're fourth in the table. That's a massive turnaround from the start of this season.
Yeah, I think, especially the situation that we're in at the moment, I think some people are calling it a crisis, but the situation that we're in, just winning at the moment is the most important thing that we can be doing. And as long as the girls are doing that, I don't care. We care what the performances are like. It's the same with the men's. We don't care what the performance is like as long as we're picking up 3 points at the end of it.
That's it. All that's important is the points right now. And I think that people were kind of making a bigger deal out of something that wasn't that big. Like, they were making a mountain out of a molehill. It wasn't, okay, it seemed a bit dire in the moment, but look at the turnaround we've done. You know, like I said, we're fourth now and we were in the bottom third of the table just last week. You know, it's a huge improvement.
Yeah, question I was going to go on to ask you then. It was, is this season as bad as people are really making out?
Do you know what? I can understand people's frustration because, you know, Liverpool Football Club are a massive club. You know, the legacy is insane. And you kind of feel like the women should be keeping up with, not keeping up with the men per se, but kind of
following their footsteps kind of thing.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, like, I think there was talks of, you know, Liverpool women getting relegated this season, which was looking to be an option, but I feel people were starting to get quite nasty about it because it's like, oh, well, the men are challenging for the title and look at the women, you know, they're about to get relegated from the Women's Super League. And I think that really put a dampener on things because the two were being compared and I really don't think they should have been.
No, I think there's times to compare men and women's football in, but I think if you're basing the women on how well the men are doing, it's completely different. The men have much more financial backing. We have, I think you have more tactical managers in the men's league. The players are on much more. It's a complete different, it's almost like it's a different sport, I'm not going to lie. But I think this is something that we'll go and speak to in another podcast I think we're making about women's football and why it shouldn't be as underappreciated as it is.
Yeah, you know, I look forward to that one because it is an issue that needs to be brought to a bit more light. But, you know, as far as the negativity was going, I am happy to see that it shut a lot of people up. You know, people on Twitter are eating humble pie because we really have turned it around. And, you know, like I said, we lost Siobhan Chamberlain, you know, arguably the best English goalkeeper currently. But, you know, we've gained two new goalkeepers. You know, we've got Anke Preuss, who's not been featuring on the team sheet as often. I'm not quite sure what's going on there because only last game against West Ham was she featured on the bench. Any other day, it was Fran Kitching in goal and no backup, which was quite a panicky thing to see, really, because you should never not have a backup keeper. So I would like to know more about what's happened there. Maybe Preuss was injured, I don't know, but I'm just glad to see that she's back.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it could be something that Chris Kirkland doesn't want. Maybe he doesn't want to keep her on the bench. I personally don't agree with that, but I think we saw Fran Kitchen go down with cramp in several games now this season. So maybe they've both got fitness concerns, maybe, or it would be something that we'd be definitely interested to find out more on. And obviously, we'll update people on if we do find out.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, it's kind of put a question mark above Kirkland's head because he is a goalkeeper coach. You know, he was a goalkeeper in his prime. And it's like, well, what's going on with Preuss if she is injured? And why is Kitchen having so much cramp? You know, she shouldn't be suffering that much pain during her games. And, you know, the more she just deals with it and plays on, the worse it's going to be in the long run. And it could potentially put her out for a very long time.
Yeah, I think I haven't thought of this until now. But if maybe Kirkland isn't impressed by his goalkeeping options, maybe it's something that he'll look into if he has the chance in the next transfer window to maybe buy a new keeper. Maybe that's why there hasn't been a keeper on the bench. But I think it's vital to have a keeper on the bench no matter what standard they are.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Becky Flatty, you know, she's recently left seeking other options because I think she realised that with the arrival of two new keepers, she just wasn't going to get the game time. So although that's great for her, it's kind of limited us because now we only have two. So if something happens to Fran while she's in goal and we have to bring Anchor on, that leaves Anchor between the sticks and no backup when she next plays. So I do feel like a goalkeeper is an option that we need to explore because although I think both have proved themselves, like Kitchen's definitely on the rise. She had an absolutely superb game against West Ham.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that it is a bit risky with the situation, you know, Kitchen having so many niggly injuries, it could leave Anchor Proust on her own, and that's never a good idea to have a single goalkeeper.
Yeah, I agree. Moving on to the last point, this isn't something that we planned on talking about, but today it was confirmed that Prenton Park is the new home of women's football for the next 3 years. Well, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it was quite a strange one. Not the news. I just mean, you know, because the girls used to play at the Select Security Stadium in Widnes, which it's quite a way away from Liverpool, you know. It's but, you know, it kind of seemed like it was the only available option at the time. So the fact that now they're at Tranmere Rovers' ground, which is only about 20 minutes away from Liverpool, it's a great kind of boost because if they think that Liverpool women are going to fill this stadium, which they must do for giving them like a 3-year deal, then it's just best for everyone because the girls will get more support and, you know, Tranmere will be full with fans. So I think it's a really good kind of positive bit of information for them because they've had such an array of like put downs this season. So for Tranmere to be excited about offering them a 3-year deal, it shows that it's not just fans that have got faith in them. It's all the owners of Tranmere, and they know that they've got all of them behind them.
Yeah, I'm very happy by the choice of making it a permanent move to Prenton Park, obviously not too far away from mine.
Yeah. So
it's much easier for me to be going to the women's games now, and also, obviously, I go to watch Tranmere quite a bit as my local team. I think they've got great owners, they've got a great moral about them, and I think that is the club they are. They're very supportive. And I think it's another thing that I want to highlight is normally for the youth games, they normally only allocate a small amount of seating on the left-hand side to Tranmere's cop stand. But for the women's game, I noticed when I went against Yeovil, they offered them the full lower tier of the cop, which normally isn't expected from Tranmere. And I think that shows the amount of people that they are expecting, and they're expecting a rise in women's football. And I think there was 400 fans there, I think, they announced on the day, which is absolutely brilliant, in my opinion.
That is fantastic. I mean, I've been recently looking into Rochdale, and, you know, I'm pretty sure that their latest turnaround against Bradford was about 600, 670, something like that. So for the women to have 400, like you say, is, you know, an amazing achievement.
Yeah, it's numbers that some teams, obviously with Tranmere being in League 2, I know a bit about League 2 now, it's numbers that some home teams are in League 2 that don't even get, and that's professional men's football. So it just shows how supportive Liverpool fans are of women's football and how women's football really... We both know that this could get much better.
Definitely. And I feel like, obviously, you know, Liverpool and Everton are, you know, they come together when it's needed, but they're just such bitter rivals. But I feel with Tranmere being the other team in Merseyside, there's some sort of like connection, I feel. I'm not sure if I'm the only one, but I feel like between Liverpool and Tranmere, there is just this little like relationship. And that shows through them saying to Liverpool women, you know, we're happy to offer you our stadium and our training facilities for you for 3 more years.
Definitely, I think maybe it's favour in the sense we do friendly for them in pre-season. I think as far as I'm aware, all money goes to Tranmere. So I think maybe it's a favour for a favour.
Yeah, more than likely. But it is, regardless of what it is, it's great to see. And, you know, the women's team are ecstatic. You know, I've seen it on social media. You know, they're so happy to be given the chance to use Tranmere's facilities and training options. And, you know, maybe soon when, you know, we establish ourselves as a bigger and better team, we might even be allowed to play the games in Anfield. Who knows?
I think that's definitely what we should be aiming for.
Absolutely. That would be a dream come true, I think, for the team and for all the women's fans if, you know, they were to start hosting their games at the Anfield Stadium.
Definitely. Anyway, it's been a pleasure talking to you and doing this podcast.
Likewise.
Hopefully this will become more of a weekly thing than monthly. I think there's a lot of talking points in women's football and especially Liverpool at the moment. So hopefully we can do this as often as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to shedding more light on it with you, Reese.
Thank you very much.
No problem. See you soon.
See you soon.